If you'll turn in your Bibles to Matthew 23, we'll begin reading at verse 25. Matthew 23, starting in verse 25. This is Jesus, one of his denunciations of the scribes and Pharisees. And he begins here by saying, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you cleanse the outside of the cup and the dish, but inside they are full of extortion and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee, notice, first cleanse the inside of the cup and dish, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. And so you also outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside you're full of hypocrisy and lawlessness." That's strong language, isn't it? How Jesus went ahead and just cut through all the nonsense of the scribes and Pharisees and said, "You're empty people. You have not cleansed yourselves of the sins that you're involved in." And the big problem with them was the sin of hypocrisy. But we know that Jesus makes many demands of his disciples. And we learn here that one of those demands is not to be like the scribes and Pharisees, who sadly appear righteous on the outside, but on the inside, he says they're full of extortion, self-indulgence, uncleanness, hypocrisy, and lawlessness. He demanded of the Pharisees and the disciples then, and he demands of us now, that we cleanse ourselves from the inside out. And this cleansing of our whole selves begins with the cleansing of our hearts and minds. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 15, 19, and 20, that out of the heart, notice, out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. Then he goes on to say, these are the things that defile a man, the things inside. So any overt action, good or bad, where does it begin? It begins in our minds. And that's why the Apostle Paul emphasized that we should think on things that are true, that are noble, that are just, that are pure, that are lovely, and of good report, Philippians 4 and verse 8. And this reminds us that the battle against the devil, again, where does it begin? It begins with our minds. You see, we have a choice to think on good things, or another choice, to fill our minds with things that are worldly and evil. That's a choice that we make. We make it every day. We make it every hour. We make it every minute. A choice of what we're going to fill our minds with. And it's obvious that the Pharisees of Jesus' time, they looked outwardly religious, but Jesus knew their hearts. Jesus didn't reprove the people of his days for doing things commanded by God. Now, isn't that interesting? Matter of fact, he commended those things. But he did reprove the hypocrites, especially the Pharisees, who were so particular about the details of the law, yet they omitted weightier matters of the law such as justice and mercy and faith. And these commandments of God, he says, you ought to have done without leaving the others undone in Matthew 23, 23. And then Jesus stated in Matthew 23, 26, first cleanse the inside of the cup and dish that the outside of them may be clean also. And that hasn't changed. We have to win that battle for our minds. We have to cleanse the inside out if we want to be right with God. He wants our hearts. Jesus wants our minds. And he wants us to clean those first. And this will lead to our outward man being clean also. And again, to be a faithful disciple of the Lord, we have to clean our whole selves. So again, how do we do this? Well, you probably already guessed my first point. How we do this is we win the battle for our minds. And we are in a battle for our minds every day. We think about, as I got older, and in some ways, as we talked about this morning, you know, if you get in a habit of doing something in a certain way, in a righteous way, you get a habit of standing against evil, you get in a habit of saying no to the devil, if you get in a habit of telling people, that's not what I'm going to do, if you get a habit of preaching and teaching the truth, you get a habit about having the courage to tell people that that's error, then those good habits do well for you. But it all still comes back to the battle of our minds. And I think that many that we know and admire might outwardly look as though they have everything under control in their lives, but inwardly are losing the battle for their minds. They look structurally sound on the outside, as he said in the text, like whitewashed tombs, but sadly are in spiritual disrepair on the inside. Spiritually, some have become empty shells. And Jesus addressed this danger in Matthew chapter 12, if you want to turn with me there, verses 43 through 45, by saying in Matthew 12, 43 through 45, remember this, when an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places seeking rest and finds nothing. Then he says, I will return to my house, which I came. And when he comes, he finds it empty, swept, and put in order. You know, as individuals, a lot of times we think, okay, I've cleansed all that out. I've cleansed all that out. And then we forget the only way that we're going to be able to move forward and grow and progress is that we have to fill our hearts and minds with the Word of God. And that's why it's so important to study the Word of God every single day. Why is that? Look at verse 45. And then he goes and takes with him, this evil spirit, seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. And notice what he says. So it also will be with this wicked generation. You see, we are prime candidates for the devil to win the battle for our minds. Again, if we do not fill our minds with the Word of God. It cannot just be empty. You have to fill it with something. And what we need to fill it with is the Word of God. It's never enough to empty our minds of evil. We must saturate ourselves with the truth of God. In James chapter 4, in James 4, starting in verse 7, he puts it this way. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Isn't that a wonderful admonition? That if we'll resist the devil, he'll flee from us? That we can actually tell the devil no, and he'll flee from us. What a wonderful blessing that is. But he went on from there in verse 8. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Why? Because some were still in their sins. They had to get out of their sins. They had to say no to the devil to be able to move forward spiritually. And then in verse 10, he says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. So we note here that many appear to have great spiritual strength. And you think, okay, we can count on them. And then what happens, and you've seen it many times in your life as Christians, you start seeing cracks in their armor when they start missing services, right? Begin spending more time with the world than they do with their spiritual family. And then, sadly, they start doubting basic fundamental principles of the Word of God. How many times have we seen that? And also they get involved in the sins of lust and envy and hatred. And many times this is manifested in our society by viewing pornography and also wishing ill upon others. But again, we have the free will to resist the devil and he'll flee from us. And that is one of the reasons that the Lord, through His infinite knowledge, established local churches so that we could have a spiritual family to help encourage and sustain us spiritually. I never have understood it in my 43 or 44 years of preaching and longer than that of being a Christian. I think I became a Christian in 1976. So you do the math. Never understood why people go back in the world. The world's not a good place. The world leads to spiritual death, and as I noted this morning, it leads to sometimes physical death. People that involve themselves in worldly behavior, it's never a positive thing. It's always a negative thing. And then we have the opposite, that we can be faithful Christian of God and can grow spiritually and continue to move forward. And then we can actually marry, in my case, a godly wife and continue to grow together in the Lord and continue to progress and then try to raise our children and nurture an admonition of the Lord and that great responsibility. And then you blink and you have grandchildren. And my oldest grandchild, she obeyed the gospel this past Wednesday night. What a blessing that is. Freshman in high school, and she finally obeys the gospel. And what joy that brings. What a glorious day it is for not only the brethren there in Timberland Drive in Lufkin, but for her parents and also her grandparents and all the people that know that precious girl. And you trade that life for the world? The world is an ugly place. Living for Christ, it gets us to heaven, even though we have to go through trials and tribulations, even though we have to go through all the things that are sometimes negative in life, because people will not always like us because our good life rebukes their life. But it's worth it all because we can serve the Lord Christ. And it's important, ladies and gentlemen, that we meet with the saints of God to engage in spiritual fellowship by singing together, praying together, studying the Word of God together, and on the first day of the week, like we did this morning, partake of the Lord's Supper together. But we don't forget, if we're going to cleanse our whole selves, we're going to have to win the battle for our minds. And then secondly, we have to fill our minds with the Word of God. One of my favorite passages is Colossians 3:16, a companion passage, and we'll read it before we read Colossians 3:16, is Ephesians 5, starting in verse 18. In Ephesians 5, starting in verse 18, he starts this passage in the companion passage of Colossians 3:16, Ephesians 5, starting verse 18, and do not be drunk with wine. And that's the idea of sitting long at the wine to get its intoxicating effects. And which is dissipation. But what's the contrast? being filled with the Spirit. And then we learn in Colossians 3:16 what it means to be filled with the Spirit, don't we? But he says, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. And then in Colossians 3:16, how are we filled with the Spirit? Well, the companion passage tells us. It says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. You want to be filled with the Spirit in our day and time or any day beyond that? Fill your hearts and minds with the word of God, the word of Christ. He says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And I think it's very obvious to let Christ's word dwell in us is to allow ourselves to be brought completely under its influence. We must allow the truth of the gospel to motivate us, to inspire us in all our important decisions. And that's the question. When we're making important decisions, do we consider God and His word? Do we pray to God often about those decisions? So the truth will motivate us. It'll allow us to inspire us to make important decisions and determine all our actions. And all of us need this sure reference point in our faith and lives. The word of Christ is not merely to make an occasional visit into our hearts. We must hide it there and allow it to take up permanent residence so it will have full opportunity to exercise complete control over every thought and deed. Well, how do we do that? Well, again, I think it's by reading and studying the Word of God every single day. And that is why it's important to participate in the Bible studies of this local congregation. And to participate in the daily Bible reading with the rest of the saints of God. That is why it's so important to assemble to hear messages preached from God's Word. All of these things keep us in contact with God's Word on a daily basis. And then thirdly, if we want to win the battle, if we want to cleanse our whole selves, we need to eliminate things which impede our spiritual progress. Probably that sin that so easily entangles us and snares us. Let's look at Matthew chapter 23. Matthew 23, and we'll start reading at verse 1. Matthew 23 and verse 1. Now, then Jesus, starting in verse 1, Matthew 23, spoke to the multitudes and to his disciples, saying, the scribes and Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. And that is, they're in high positions of leadership. And the sad thing is, they like it. Verse 2 or 3. Therefore, whatever they tell you to observe, that observe and do. But notice, do not do according to their works, for they say, and they do not do. Verse 4, for they bind heavy burdens hard to bear and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves would not move them with one of their fingers, but all their works they do to be seen of men. We know in chapter 23 that Jesus challenged the Pharisees to rid themselves of the things of the world, such as power and prestige and self-importance. And again, to put on mercy and justice and faith. However, their spiritual progress was impeded by what? Self-righteousness, hypocrisy, extortion, self-indulgence, and lawlessness. Now, Jesus declares to the people, in that context, that whatever the Pharisees tell you to observe, that observe it do, but do not do according to their works. That's a sad state of affairs, isn't it? Here you have the Jewish spiritual leaders that should have the great knowledge of the law of God, should be not only teaching that law to the people. Jesus said if they teach it based upon truth, you need to do it. But they couldn't even live the very thing they were teaching. Why was that the case? Because all their works they did to what? To be seen of men. They were more worried about what men thought than what God thought. And we all have to be careful with that. Why do we do what we do? As young people, do you do it to please your parents, or do you have your own faith that you do it to please God? And all of us as Christians, do we do it to please wives? Do we do it to please brethren? Or do we do it to please the Lord? We have to be careful not to imitate the Pharisees of old by looking spiritually sound on the outside, but being spiritually lifeless on the inside. And I think I can say this without fear of contradiction. If we are more concerned with our luxuries, our comforts, our hobbies, our gadgets, our recreational activities and jobs than serving the Lord, we no longer have Jesus Christ positioned as number one in our lives. And how can we cleanse our whole selves if we are more interested in these things? And the fact is, we may look spiritually sound on the outside, but if these things are more important to us than serving the Lord, we're spiritually lifeless on the inside. And let's ask a few questions. What is our purpose in this life? What adds true meaning in our lives? Do we have a clear vision of where we are headed after this life ends? Those are questions that we need to ask. And we need to ask them often. If we feel like we're going in the wrong direction, if we feel like we're going in the right direction, we still need to self-analyze. Where am I going spiritually? Am I stronger today than I was yesterday? Do I have a disposition of mind to continue to move forward spiritually? I think our fast-paced lives can serve as a distraction from what really matters most. And I always get tickled at people say, well, you just don't understand. I don't understand. When at one time in my life, I was preaching at a congregation, at one time I was principal, coach, and teacher. And I was finishing up my graduate work and driving 2 hours and 15 minutes 3 times a week. And sometimes on Saturday nights to be prepared for Sunday, I'd stay up to 2 and 3 in the morning. And then you just pick the times through the week when I can try to get more time to study and try to have studies with my kids every night. And sometimes I couldn't do it because I'd get home at 2 in the morning from school at West Texas A&M near Amarillo, Texas. Hey, you really have to analyze. How long can I do this and still be pleasing to the Lord? It's that self-examination that we all have to do. Do we understand? Yes, we understand. But still, our desire is to go to heaven. So what are we willing to do to go to heaven? Well, we should be willing to do it all. Do everything the Lord wants us to do. And that final question, do we take the time to truly consider the value of what we do? When we examine our lives, we may conclude that some parts of our lives need to be removed through spiritual surgery. Jesus addressed that in Matthew 9, 43, 45, and 47. He said, if your hand makes you sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life maimed than having two hands to go to hell. And if your foot makes you sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame than having 2 feet to be cast into hell. And if your eye makes you sin, pluck it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than having 2 eyes to be cast into hellfire. He's talking about spiritual surgery. We all have to analyze what things do we have to cut out of our lives that are impeding our spiritual progress. And if our total focus is on complete obedience to Jesus and His Word, we will rid ourselves of anything that stands in the way of being faithful to the Lord. Now think about that. We all have to think about it, don't we? What is holding me back from serving the Lord? What is holding me back from standing for truth? What is holding me back from talking to my neighbor? Where's the fear coming from? When we know we have the Lord on our side and we have the truth on our side. What's holding us back if we have sin in our lives? What's holding her back from repenting and confessing of that and getting it right? You see, striving for the things of this world ultimately brings spiritual emptiness. But striving for complete service to Christ makes us spiritually whole. Ecclesiastes, the wise man put it well in Ecclesiastes 12, 13, and 14. He had done it all, hadn't he? He had done it all. But what was his conclusion? Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is man's all. And then, for God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or bad. Solomon concludes that serving the Lord faithfully is obviously what life is all about, and it is. Faithfully serving the Lord brings joy, contentment, peace, and hope in this life and creates in us a burning desire for the life to come. I just finished a two-year survey with my teaching a junior high and high school class. I hadn't done that in years. And some of the parents wanted something different. So I told the elders, I said, you know, on Sunday mornings, I'll develop my own material and we'll do a survey of the New Testament. We just got through. And then we're at the end of Revelation. And you know the passage, come Lord Jesus. And you know what I told those young people? Do you understand that? And they just kind of hemmed all around and said, well, I don't know. Yeah, it's the fact that we need to be ready for the Lord to come. That's hard on young people, isn't it? Come, Lord Jesus. They have their life before them. But it means a lot to me now. And I know it means a lot to a lot of people in this audience. Come, Lord Jesus. But it doesn't mean as much to the young people, but it will at some point, won't it? It's that growing, it's that progressing in the faith that we understand statements like that. You see, with heaven awaiting us, we know death is no longer the end. Nor is it to be feared. In Christ, the faithful will live forever. Living in fear is not the purpose in life, and we know that. But I sometimes do fear missing out on life's purpose. And we should all have that fear. We don't want to miss out on the purpose of life, and that is serving the Lord to go to heaven. It's to faithfully serve the Lord and put Him first in our lives. And God doesn't care how attractive we might be on the outside. He doesn't. Anyone could put on a coat of paint to cover up the weathering of passing years. But the believer has a greater promise. The Bible says that those who have come to God are clothed with His righteousness. And this is accomplished by reading the Word of God and applying the things found in therein. Having surrounded us with divine beauty that we all see, and I'm sure enjoying it in Kentucky, by the way, all the beauty that y'all have in this state. So God has clothed all of that, this beauty that we have, but there's nothing more beautiful than when people are clothed with righteousness. Because God looks on our inside and knows how truly beautiful we can be and already are. What a blessing that is. That He knows. He knows where every one of us are spiritually in this audience. He knows if we have obeyed the gospel or not. I don't know who in this audience has not obeyed the gospel, but the Lord knows, and y'all know. And you need to think about that tonight. But before I extend that invitation, I want to give you three admonitions to take home with you. If you are not already reading and studying the Word of God every day, start today. And I want to tell you, parents, please read and study the Word of God with your kids every day, whatever age. Get them in contact with something spiritual every day. Pray with your kids every single day. There's nothing more wonderful than what I heard tonight of the young girls singing behind me. Wow, that's amazing. You think the Lord hears that? And not only that, do you need to pray with your kids every day, sing with them every day, and you get singing like that. Good job, Daddy. What great singing. Do it every day. Get them in contact with the Word every day. Number two, this week, rid yourself of the main thing hindering you from putting the Lord first. And that's self-reflection for all of us, isn't it? We all have to look within ourselves and say, you know, what can I do better? What can I get rid of? It's just really hindering me from being what I can be. And then last, this week, perform an act of kindness to at least one person. This happened several years ago. If you know me well, I'm not a coffee drinker, but I love the smell of coffee. So I go to Starbucks a lot. And you know, they all know me. And so when I come in, it's just a funny thing. I'll hear, Larry, 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 Larry. And then you gotta learn their name. So I'll call every one of them, all of their names. You gotta make a conscious effort to do that. To get to know people, to try to have an influence on them. And continue to invite them to services. Tell them to come in and hear me preach. But the irony is, that one time I came in, and her name was Lydia, and she's moved on. I guess she's working somewhere else, and did that a long time ago. But I'll never forget this. This was on a Sunday morning. I just finished preaching, and I went by Starbucks, and I walked in, and a guy was just chewing Lydia out when she was taking his order. I mean, no mercy. And she was so patient about it. And then I came up to her and I said, I'm sorry that you had to go through that, Lydia. I said, I'm going to try to make your day better. But before I could say anything else, she looked at me and said, Sundays are the worst. I mean, she's still out of her mind on that. She said, the Sundays are the worst. I said, what do you mean? How are Sundays the worst? And you know what she said? It's the churchgoers. It's the churchgoers. I will tell you, brother, we don't want to be part of that churchgoer group that she's talking about. You know what she's talking about. They're not treating her well. They're not treating her with kindness and courtesy. That's why we have to show an act of kindness all the time in our lives. We can't let our guard down, because when we let our guard down, ooh, that mouth said something we ought not say. Because somebody's not waiting on us. This wait staff is not doing what they ought to be doing. We got to continue to be kind and considerate. So we need to think about that. Think about that this week. How are we treating the people of the world that we're supposed to influence for good? And we can do it. We can do it. All of us can do it, because we have the principles of Christ. They're part of our hearts and minds because we read and study the Word of God every day. And if you're not a Christian, I think there's some of you in here, if you're not a Christian, you've heard enough gospel in this congregation. You know what you need to do to be saved. You just got to make a decision to do it. Repenting of your sins, confessing Jesus as Christ, and be baptized into Christ. And if somebody is publicly sinning, you know how to get it right. You have to get the prayers of this congregation, and they'll pray for you and with you. And if you have some private sin, you know what to do there too. Just pray to the Lord to forgive you, and He will. Isn't it wonderful that we know if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness? What a wonderful thing that is. Will you come? Why together we stand and sing.